Belinda Audio and Audible Studios present The Venice Sketchbook, written by Rhys Bowen and read by Barry Krynick.
I have an ulterior motive for visiting you, apart from saying goodbye. I wondered if you'd care to work for your country.
When I looked surprised, he went on.
What I have to say from now on is all top secret, and you must sign a document to verify this.
He reached into his pocket and put a sheet of paper on my table.
Are you prepared to sign?
Before I know what is entailed?
I'm afraid so. That's how it works in wartime.
I hesitated, staring at him, then walked over to the table. I suppose there is no harm in signing. I can still say no to what you propose?
Oh, absolutely.
Mr. Sinclair sounded far too cheerful. Very well, then. I scanned the document, noting that betraying the trust could result in prison or death. Hardly reassuring. But I signed. He took it back and slipped it inside his jacket.
You have a fine view here, Miss Browning, he said.
I know. I love it.
And I understand you own this place.
You seem to know a lot about me, I said.
We do. I'm afraid we had to check into your background before making this request of you.
And that request would be? In the kitchen alcove, the kettle boiled, sending a loud shriek that made me rush to the stove. I poured the water into the teapot, then returned to the living room.
You are in a prime position to watch the movement of ships. You know the Italians have navy vessels stationed here. Now they might well be allowing the German navy to use this as a base from which to attack Greece, Cyprus, Malta. I'd like you to give us a daily account of shipping activity. If ships leave the harbour here, you tell us, and we'll have planes ready to intercept.
How would I tell you? Who would be left to tell?
Ah.
He turned a little red.
Someone will be sent to install a radio. It will be hidden so that nobody else knows about it. You can't use it when that woman of yours is here. She cannot be allowed to see it, is that clear?
Of course. Although she is not the brightest, she probably wouldn't know what it was.
Nevertheless,
he held up a warning finger,
you will broadcast as soon as possible after you witness shipping activity.
To whom do I broadcast? And what do I say?
Patience, dear lady. All will be made clear, he said.
I went back into the kitchen and poured two cups of tea, then carried them on a tray to where we'd been sitting. Mr. Sinclair took a sip and gave a sigh of satisfaction.
Ah, tea that tastes like tea. One thing I shall enjoy when I get home.
I took a drink myself and waited. He put the cup down.
Do you know Morse code?
I'm afraid I don't.
I'll get a booklet over to you. Learn it as soon as possible. Along with the radio, you will receive a code book. You will keep that hidden apart from the radio in a place where nobody would think of looking. Your messages will be sent in code. For example, if you see two destroyers, you might say, Granny is not feeling well today.
And if the Germans break the code?
The codes will be changed frequently. You will not know in advance how you'll receive a new booklet. Maybe a package from your auntie in Rome with recipes in it.
He shrugged.
Our Secret Service is highly resourceful. The good thing is that you will never have to make personal contact with anyone. So should you be questioned, you will not have to worry about betrayal.
That sounds so reassuring, I said dryly, and saw the twitch of a smile on his lips. He took another sip, then put down his cup once more.
One more thing,
he said.
You will need a code name for communication. What do you suggest?
I stared out across the canal. A cargo ship was moving slowly past. Was I mad to agree to this? My name is Juliet, I said. So, my code name could be Romeo.
Romeo. I like it.
He laughed.